Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Well, thank God walls are coming down. One of the walls that's coming down is the wall that separates shepherd from sheep. And Jesus is giving us his word, the truth, so that that wall no longer exists, and shepherd and sheep are able to walk together in green pastures and fulfill the purpose and plan of God for their life. Amen? So I want to first review last week. We talked about how pastors are called and responsible to watch out for the souls of those entrusted to them. Remember, it's not the sheep's responsibility to watch out and check up on the pastor and watch out for his soul. It's the shepherd's responsibility, right? I mean, he's been given a big responsibility. The responsibility to watch out for the souls of human beings, because that's a big deal to God. And so now pastors, they have this big task entrusted to them. And so that's no light thing. That's a big deal. And we need to understand that. We talked about how no pastor is born a pastor. They all start out as sheep. And so they have an advantage over most sheep, because they know what it's like to be both a sheep and a shepherd. But sheep don't know what it's like to be a shepherd. They're just figuring out what it's like to be a sheep. But they don't have that advantage. They don't have that dual perspective of being a sheep and a shepherd. Pastors can relate to the sheep, but sheep need to be taught to relate to their pastors. Pastors know what it's like to sit under pastoral leadership and to be that leadership. In fact, if I wasn't a faithful sheep, I could never have become a shepherd. I had to first be a sheep, and I had to be faithful. I had to do what God told me to do. Submit to the authorities that he placed over me. Submit to my pastor. I started out in New York. Had a wonderful pastor there. Then went out to Oklahoma. Had a pastor there. Then God moved me after a couple years. Sat me under another minister that I served in the ministry with. And submitted to him, had wonderful relationships with him. I never caused problems in any of the churches I went to. I never left with a bad report from the pastor. I left with their blessing. Every one of them laid their hands on me, blessed me, sent me away with gifts. Just called me up to the front, sent me away with gifts. Glory be to God. So that's how it's supposed to be. And as a result of being faithful to that, the Lord continued to bring me up in helps ministry and then on to actually pastoring. And so a pastor knows what it's like to be a sheep. He can relate. So you never want to say, oh, the pastor, he doesn't understand. He can't relate. He doesn't know what it's like. He doesn't know what it's like to be me. To deal with the things that I have to go to a secular job. I have to be around heathens all day. Well, what do you think I did before I got here? Right? I mean, Jesus said, you know, you got to be faithful with the worldly wealth and the money and the things of this world. You got to be faithful with what's another man before God would entrust to you your own. Right? So I know what it's like to be employed. I know what it's like to be an employer. I got that dual advantage too. I was an employee and I also was an employer, ran a business, had employees. So, and I believe that was a part of my training, even when I didn't know it, had no idea I'd be doing what I'm doing today. I look back now and I can see how God put me in different things to train me and prepare me for what I'm doing right now, to give me a perspective that would cause me to be able to relate to different people in different avenues of life. So never say that. Pastor, he doesn't understand. He just sits in a cave all day and he fasts and prays and he doesn't know anything about what I go through. That's a lie. I said, that's a lie. And so you don't want to believe lies. Can you say amen? Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, the Lord says, I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Notice, I'll give you shepherds according to my own heart. Pastors have been given God's heart. Therefore, they respond to people and their problems the way God would. All right? This isn't just some kind of mental thing. This isn't just something that's of men. This is an anointing of the Holy Spirit. A shepherd receives an anointing of the Holy Spirit. He receives the heart of the good shepherd in order to shepherd God's flock. A pastor has been educated, has studied hard, and is licensed to do what he is doing. He's a professional in his field. He's an expert on people and their problems. That's what he is. That's what God's anointed him to be and trained him to be. That's what he does all day long. He works on people. He helps people, right? He helps navigate people through their problems in life. Helps them to overcome the problems of life. It's a daily thing. It's a constant thing. You get pretty good at it after a while. You do it enough times. Of course, you learn some things the hard way. You know, you make some mess ups and you learn. But you know, you become proficient at what you do when you do it for a long period of time. A shepherd can recognize a wolf dressed like a sheep miles away. He's got that discernment. Again, because why? He's got God's heart. He's been given something the average sheep does not have. And he can see things that enables him to be able to protect and guard the sheep. That's why you want to pay attention to your shepherd. You want to pay attention to things, because there's some things he might not be able to come straight out and tell you, because maybe if he did, you wouldn't be able to handle it and you'd get offended thinking, oh, I can't believe he said that about Charlie. And then you go tell 10 other sheep, he doesn't like Charlie. And then, you know, you go off thinking he has a problem with Charlie. Meanwhile, Charlie, he knows, is a wolf dressed as a sheep. And you don't know any better. So there's a lot of things he can't say. And a lot of times a shepherd, you know, he cares even about Charlie the wolf. You know, he's hoping that maybe even the wolf can get things right and turn back to being a sheep. Because like I said, you know, the question had come to me, where does a wolf get the sheep's clothing? By having been a sheep at one time. So he was a sheep and he mutated into a wolf. Just like a werewolf. He became wolf, but he kept the outward clothing even though his heart became vicious and anti-Christ. All right? So the shepherd cares about him, so he doesn't want to just tell everybody Charlie's no good, stay away from him. He's still trying to win Charlie over here. So you just have to be very sensitive and pay attention to your pastor and what he's doing, okay? We discussed these things, and we had mentioned how to be a wolf, Jesus said, one just needs to not be with him, not be submitted to him. Remember that? Over there in Matthew 12:30, he who is not with me, Jesus said, is against me, and he who does not gather with me, what? Scatters abroad. Now it's interesting he uses that word scatters. If you're not with me, then you are scattering. And then we see in John 10, verse 12, where it says, Jesus talking about shepherding sheep. He says, but a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and what? There's that word again. Who scatters them? a wolf. But what did Jesus say in Matthew 12:30? Who scatters? He who does not gather with him. So if somebody isn't working with the shepherd, then he is scattering the shepherd and therefore qualifies as a wolf. So he said that's important to understand, because a lot of times you think, well, wolf, I mean, that's a really bad person, right? But it could just be a person that is just not flowing with the pastor's heart. Again, this is a heart thing. This is a spiritual proposition. Church, being a child of God, being in the kingdom of God, it's a heart thing. There's more to it than just showing up, just being at church in the flesh. There's heart connections. And a lot of times, people will get that far. They'll get that. Yeah, God wants me to come to this church. I know I'm supposed to be here. But their heart is not connecting with the shepherd. And like I said, many times they'll seek to connect with other sheep, but they won't connect with the shepherd, which really isn't connecting with the sheep at all. There's deception there. There's deception there. So it's a heart thing, and it's about submission, submitting your heart. A lot of people just, they don't want to submit their heart to a shepherd. They'll say all the right things, they'll think all the right things, but their heart is far from you. So these are things to beware of, all right? Because there are wolves in the midst of the general church, all right? We got a great congregation here, but it's something we always got to watch out for as we grow as a church and things. Now, when there's a true shepherd, not just a hireling, how does the wolf scatter sheep? Because remember, John 10:12, he's talking about a hireling who is not the shepherd. One who does not own the sheep, and he sees the wolf coming and leaves. He flees, and then the sheep are caught and scattered. So the sheep get scattered when there's just a hireling in the house and not a shepherd. So how can a wolf scatter a sheep if there's a real shepherd in the house and not just a hireling? Can he do it? Can a wolf scatter the sheep if there's a real shepherd on duty and not just a hireling? And if so, how does he do that? Well, Jesus tells us exactly over here in Matthew, the 26th chapter. Matthew 26, verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, all of you, talking to his disciples, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. So when there's a hireling on duty, no problem. Wolf shows up, hireling takes off. Right? Hireling don't do anything. Now, physically, he might stay in his position. But he doesn't defend the sheep. He's not praying. He's not in faith concerning the flock. He's not stopping things from happening. He's got other interests, you know, more important than taking care of the sheep. He's just thinking about himself. He's a hireling. So the sheep are easily scattered when there's a hireling on duty. But when there's a shepherd, how's the wolf going to get to the sheep? He's going to go after the shepherd. He's going to seek to strike the shepherd. That's how he gets to the sheep. And that tells us right there that the devil is a whole lot more interested in getting to the shepherd than he is the sheep. In other words, the shepherd is his focus of attack. It's the shepherd he wants to take out. He wants to get to the sheep. He wants to take the shepherd out. So, you know, you think you got problems. You think you got problems with the devil, you know. Oh, Pastor, you just don't know. The devil has been wreaking havoc in our house. Uh-huh. I don't know anything about that.
Well, you know,
The devil doesn't bother with you, but he's always coming after us. He's always attacking us. No, you're believing lies. That's contrary to Scripture. If he's attacking you, he's attacking or planning an attack or scheming an attack against the shepherd many times moreover. So you have to understand that. Your shepherd stands up for you in the spirit, and he becomes the focal point of Satan's attack. Now, that doesn't scare me, because I'm not afraid of the devil, because I know my authority in Christ Jesus. But I still have to resist him. I still have to stand against him. I still have to fight the good fight of faith. And I'll have to fight the good fight of faith a whole lot harder than the sheep. A shepherd will have to fight spiritually a whole lot harder than the sheep. But again, it's not a problem when you're yielded to the grace of God. But a shepherd better keep his focus on the grace of God, because he'll get mowed over. Are you listening to me? And you need to understand that. See, a lot of times, people, when it's time to pray, they go to praying for all the people in the church that are weak and struggling and half the time aren't at church. Oh, help Margaret. Oh, Father, we pray for Margaret, you know. She's struggling so much. And people spend all their energy praying for Margaret over here, who's half in, half out, and hardly pray for the pastor, because he don't need much prayer. He's the pastor. He's like free of adversity. You know, he's like separate from adversity and problems. Look, he's always smiling. He's happy. He's good. He doesn't need anything. We pray for the needy people. Well, no, you need to be praying for your pastor. In fact, the Bible says, first of all, over there in the book of Timothy, that first of all, number one, the number one people you're to pray for are those in authority. Why should that be number one? Why is that first of all? Because they are first and foremost on the enemy's hit list. So they need, first of all, more than before anything else, to be prayed for. And again, they're in such a key place spiritually in the lives of the sheep that by praying for them, you're actually helping yourself. The sheep are actually helping themselves by praying for the shepherd. Because if they can keep the shepherd strong, help him to remain strong and steadfast against all the onslaught of hell that comes against him, if they can help him in prayer to keep his focus on the Lord Jesus, keep him in faith, keep him walking in his authority, keep him from taking a day off, from walking in the spirit. You don't want your pastor taking a day off to walk in the flesh. That could be trouble for everybody. Why? Because if we can strike the shepherd, we can affect the sheep. And a lot of times, this is all done in the spirit. All this gets done in the spirit first, and then manifests out into the physical, into the natural, where we can see it. So if you want to be safe and secure, pray, first of all, for those that are first and foremost on Satan's hit list. Okay? Pray for those in authority over you. Pray for your shepherd. Just like we saw with Moses. By keeping Moses' arms up, remember? Aaron and Hur were out there holding Moses' arms up. By holding his arms up, the children of Israel were able to win in the battles of life against their enemies, the Amalekites. They were able to win in those battles simply because they kept Moses' hands held up. So it affects you. It affects you more than you know. God has set it up that way. And the devil knows that. So we have to understand these things, understand these spiritual laws that are taking place all around us. So understanding that, I think, will help the sheep to be a whole lot more compassionate and sensitive to their shepherd Understand that? See, I don't walk around like I'm under an attack. Because I'm not. Devil's under my feet. But you see, I have to stay in that place of faith. That's the place of faith. You stay in that place of victory. You stay in that place as more than a conqueror. And then all is well. All is good. And so, you know, it can look easy. Everything can look so easy for the pastor. Why? Because he's functioning in his place in the grace of God that's on his life. But it's not easy in the natural. It takes spiritual discipline, spiritual focus, and there's no breaks. There's no taking a day off because he'll come in like a flood. Talking about the enemy. He will come in like a flood. Why? That's his focus. He's looking for weaknesses. He's looking for openings in the pastor's armor. He's looking for that. Why? Because he wants to get to you. But he can't get to you as long as the pastor's got his arms up. As long as the pastor's over here in faith. As long as that pastor's in his place and you're submitted to him, he can't get to you. Unless, of course, he can get you to stray. Get you to walk away from the shepherd. Get offended or something like that. And he'll work on you in those areas too to try to separate you from your shepherd. Right? So he'll work on that end too, and he'll try to discourage you, and you don't need to go to church. Nobody loves you over there. They don't even think, they wouldn't even miss you if you weren't there. Who cares? Who cares? God knows you're here, and the devil knows you're here. And he knows you being here keeps him from being able to hurt you. So who cares whether somebody shook your hands or not? Right? Now, the terrorists have learned this. I'm talking about natural, these terrorists who are possessed by demons, who blow themselves up and blow up buildings and just destroy life, doing the work of the devil. They're just full of the devil. But they learned this. You'll remember back, I think it was it in 93, when some terrorists loaded up a truck with some bombs, and they placed it under the World Trade Center. And they sought to bring the World Trade Center down in New York, one of the towers down, by blowing up the base of that building. Well, it didn't succeed. The bomb went off and there was damage, but the building didn't move. So then they learned, you got to hit it at the top. I don't know how they figured that out. They must have had the devil's help. And there was a devil involved in helping them with that. That was a very supernatural thing they pulled off. Very demonic. So in 2001, they drove aircraft into the upper part of those towers. And what happened? Those towers came down like the easiest thing. Just fell to the ground. The devil knows that's how you take things down. Go for the head. Go for the top. Go for those that are over the flock. And that's how you bring the church down. Go for the head. Go for the top. And so you see that even in the natural. And there are many demon-possessed people, men that Satan will try to use to take out pastors. You know, it's a spiritual thing. The devil, I mean, when I first started the church, I mean, oh, man. When I moved here, now I'm going back to the spiritual adversity. When I moved here, man, I mean, right before we started the church, I had a visitation from some kind of being. The enemy came and he did things and he messed with me for several years with different attacks. But through it all, I kept turning to Jesus. I kept pressing in, kept moving forward and get stronger and stronger and stronger and overcame and overcame and overcame, hallelujah, and all backfired on the devil because he's just working me out. That's all he was doing. He'd just get me, he was trying to take me out, but he was just working me out, and I was just getting spiritually stronger and stronger and stronger. And now today, stuff that he used to mess with me with, I mean, I'm talking about premeditated, fully calculated attacks of Satan. It was so obvious. All of a sudden, everything's peaceful and nice, and wham, wham, wham. You could tell this thing was premeditated, fully calculated. This attack against me. And here it all comes, man. Here comes this bombardment. And so sometimes it took a full week to get through the thing. And then as time went on, it took a few days to get through the thing. And then, praise God, by the end of the day, I started getting through it. And then now, praise God, I laugh at it. But there's been spiritual battles. For us to be in this place today, there's been a lot of serious spiritual battles. People don't think of those things. Sheep don't think of those things. They just show up. Oh, yeah, we're here. Here's the building. You know, hey, there was a big bang and here it appeared. You know, they don't understand the kind of spiritual blood and sacrifice that was shed. As we were building that sanctuary out there, and what a fight, man. What a fight to get this property, and what a fight to get a building built on it. Oh, man. It was not normal. Because I was in business. I know what it's like to start a business. My family were entrepreneurs, and they started businesses. You can go get a building, and you can do things. Oh, man, we're starting a church. No, it wasn't just like starting a business. It wasn't just like, it was warfare. It was warfare. It was intense. Now, again, I don't like saying too much about that stuff. People get scared. Don't be scared. The devil's under your feet. The devil's under your feet. I'm not afraid of the devil. He doesn't bother me a bit. I trample on him. I said, I trample on him. I'm totally serious about it. I trample on him. I enjoy talking about it. Just peradventure, he's listening. And I'm sure he is, see, because it's his focus. But we're affecting this city. We're affecting this city. The devil doesn't like when you take territory from him for the kingdom of God. Now, you want to go build a house, start a business, do something secular? Not too much of a problem there. But you want to take territory for the kingdom of God and build a work for God? Yeah, he'll try to stop you, but he didn't. You have to have patience. You have to have perseverance. You have to have endurance. But thank God we got it. God's been good to us. He has fortified us, strengthened us, and thank God he's kept my eyes on him. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. But you got to understand, because a lot of times sheep, they take all that stuff for granted. I don't. I go into another man's church, and I see Pastor so-and-so, and I see his church, and I think, glory to God. And it doesn't have to be this huge cathedral for me to say, praise God, they got a piece of land. I know what it's like to secure a piece of land for the kingdom of God and build a building on it. Now, if you want to build something, call it a church, but it's just something of man, and to please man, well, you know, that will probably go pretty easy for you. Satan will probably help you, because that's what he told Jesus, right? He said, if you'll bow down, worship me, I'll give it all to you. I'll give you property. I'll give you anything you want. Just bow down to me, Mr. Shepherd. Shepherd Jesus, bow down to me, and all will be yours. I'll give it to you. Just submit yourself to me, to selfishness. Come out from underneath the plan of God. Do it man's way. Do it my way. And so, people that do it the devil's way, things probably flow pretty well for them. They experience all kinds of great increase, all kinds of good things, and so be it. But as for us, the more you speak the truth, the more you stand up for what's right, the more you determine to be a light and make your light bright, very, very convicting, very honest, very real, very full of the Spirit of God, man, the more you make yourself a target for adversity. But that's okay, because we always triumph and we always win. And you don't have to worry, because you're not the focal point. The shepherd is. He's out in the front, and he ain't worried. This shepherd is not worried, trust me. Big shield of faith, no problem, follow me. I'm just telling you, follow me. Glory to God. Now, it's very interesting. Miss Tabitha, Brother Walter's wife, she said she had a dream yesterday. And she just told me this today. Now, here I had this, when I'm talking to you right now, that was already, God had given that to me last Thursday. So I knew what I was opening up with tonight about the pastor being the focal point of Satan's attack. So she says, Pastor, I had this dream. I do not understand it. She said, I need help. I said, okay. So she sat in my office, told me the dream. She said, I was sound asleep. And she said, then I woke up and I heard audibly, very, very clearly, they're trying to kill the angels. That's what she heard. Audibly. She said, it was as clear as could be. Like somebody standing right there. They said, they're trying to kill the angels. She said, can angels get killed? But I told her, I believe what this is saying is, you know, the Bible talks about over in the book of Revelation, it refers to pastors as angels. It sure does. Over here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "And to the angel," now this is Jesus speaking, giving instruction to the apostle John. And Jesus says to John, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and seven stars," da 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 da. And he begins to give John instruction that John is to write down and give it to who? The angel of the church. Now, isn't that a strange thing? Writing something down on a piece of paper to give to an angelic being that you cannot see? See, it's not talking about an angel in the sense of a spirit. It's talking about a messenger. The word angel means messenger. It's a messenger of the church. Who's the messenger, or the one that brings the message to the church? The shepherd. The pastor. He's the one that brings the message to the church. He's the messenger. So to the messenger of the church of Sardis, write. And so he writes. Then in verse 7 he says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write." In other words, to the messenger or to the pastor. But the Bible does call him here an angel. So she hears this word from God. She said, "So I'm not going crazy then," because it was very real to her. In other words, you could not talk her out of the fact that she had this experience and she heard those words, even though it sounded completely contrary to Scripture. They're trying to kill the angels? That don't make sense to me. But she knew it. She knew she heard it. So I believe, it's very clear to me, that it's a confirmation of what God has put on my heart to minister tonight and showing how strategic this message is tonight. This is a very strategic message because God is revealing through that revelation that she got, and he showed me the interpretation of it, that this is what the enemy is doing right now. He is seeking to kill pastors, the angels of the churches. The messengers of the churches, which tells me that this isn't just spiritual, but this is a plot that's being uncovered by the Spirit of God that we will be seeing taking place in the days ahead. The attack will be against pastors to kill them, to take them out, so that you can dissolve the churches. Because we know, of course, the churches spiritually, they're influence and authority against Satan, but also even politically. The church has caused a lot of problems for certain political groups. And so how do we stop these people? How do we stop them? Follow Satan's instructions. Strike the shepherd. Take the shepherds out. Again, this does not trouble me. This does not scare me. But the Lord uncovers that to us. Helps us to see that that is a plot of the enemy to take out the shepherds, which we already see in the Scriptures. Now, this is important to understand. Now I see why, how strategic it is for me to minister on this. Why does the Lord, I've never ministered on this before. Why, Lord, are you having me minister on these things like this at this time? Because he sees what Satan is plotting, both in the spirit and in the natural with wicked people. He is plotting to work to remove leaders of the churches, to wipe out shepherds, to begin to kill shepherds in the land. Now, this has happened in other countries. Other countries that were democracies that became, were taken over by dictators and things. It has happened. They always go after the churches. All of a sudden, pastors and political leaders, people of authority, begin to disappear in the night. You ever hear things like that? They disappear in the night. They just disappear. Which reminds me of a scripture over in Isaiah 57, verse 1. Somebody say, "We always triumph. We always win." Do I look depressed? Huh?
I'm the focal point of Satan's attack.
You don't know what I've gone through. Well, that's true. You don't. You don't. You have no idea. But I've gone through it. Right? I've gone through it, and I've only gotten stronger. And I've only gotten happier. And I am not weary in well-doing by any means. Pray for me. Let's keep it that way. I'm not cocky. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. It can. That's why I say, pray for me. Right? Keep me in your prayers. Very important. Very important to pray, first of all, for those in authority over your life. Very important. All right? But no scars that you can see. Not in pain. The Lord's been good. I said, the Lord's been good. And we like emphasizing the good. I always like emphasizing the good. But at the same time, if we always emphasize just the good and we never talk about the adversity and the suffering and the threats and all the spiritual warfare and those things, then people, they have a very twisted idea. They come up with their own ideas about ministry and pastors, and we need to eliminate deception as much as possible without the weaker little lambs getting scared that the devil, he's attacking. Trust me. Jesus put him under our feet. You don't have to worry about him. Somebody say, the devil's under my feet. All right? He is. Hallelujah. But he tries. He tries, but we're going to keep him under our feet. We're going to continue to walk by faith and not by sight, okay? So let's get this balance. Thank God. Thank God you're in the house of God. Well, if anything, it should put the fear of God in you to stay in your place. Don't go wandering off.
Well, I'll just skip church for a little while. I think I'll just go ahead and flesh out for a little while. Don't do that. This is serious business. Keep your focus.
Stay in the fold. Stay with the flock. Stay connected. Heart connected to your pastor. Can you say amen? Isaiah 57, verse 1, it says, the righteous perishes, and no one takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. The righteous is taken away from evil. Another translation says, the righteous person is taken away because of evil. Because of evil, the righteous is taken away. Merciful men are taken away. Another translation says, no one understands that because of evil, the righteous one passed away. Passed away. Now, where it says merciful men are taken away, that word taken away, you know what it means? In the actual Hebrew language, when you look it up, it means exterminated, killed, put to death, caused to vanish. That's what that actually means, taken away, when you look it up. Exterminated, killed, caused to vanish, put to death. So he's saying the righteous perishes, and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men. See, that's who pastors are, right? Merciful men. Men of righteousness. In fact, you look up the word righteous there in the original Hebrew, and it says that word is used of a judge or king who maintains the right and dispenses justice. It's leaders that maintain what's right and dispense justice. So then technically here, he's not just talking about those who are the righteousness of God in Christ, although that can be applicable. But more than that, he's talking about righteous men in the sense of leaders. Leaders that stand up for righteousness. Men of mercy. Merciful men. It says they're killed. They're taken away. And here's the big thing we need to get a hold of. No one takes it to heart. Is what it says. No one takes it. They're being killed. They're dying. No one takes it to heart. Now, why wouldn't people take it to heart when pastors are passing away? They're dying. They're being killed. Maybe just by some kind of curse of the devil, or maybe by wicked men. And people aren't really taking it to heart. Why would that be? Because they don't have the heart of the pastor. And why don't they have the heart of the pastor? Because they really don't know him. They really don't understand him, and they don't relate to him. So therefore, they don't take to heart when he perishes. And so therefore they don't pray from their heart for him. So you see, we hear these words, and they're words from God to train congregations, to train the sheep, because I don't believe this word just stays with our congregation. I believe it goes out, and God will get it out, and it'll affect other pastors, other congregations. That word goes out, and it causes people to get a clear understanding of their shepherd so that they honor that gift more in their heart and take to heart what happens in their shepherd's life, and thus they pray more fervently for him, and thus the enemy can't exterminate them so easily. The enemy can't take them away. So a part of what God revealed is that there's an extermination or an elimination, a plot of the enemy through wicked men to try to exterminate, to remove pastors. But God's countering it with his word to build faith in his sheep and alert them to these things so that they stand on the watch, take it to heart, and pray for their pastor and help keep him strong against every weapon of the devil so that the enemy's plots cannot prosper. His weapons formed against us will not prosper. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Thank God for it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, pray. Turn to somebody and say, you better get to praying. Now, praying for the pastor. It's a real hard task for a lot of Christians. Praying in general is a very difficult task for a lot of sheep. Just praying in general. Praying and getting in the Word. It's like the hardest thing in the world. You ever notice that? Hardest thing in the world. My God. You can do all kinds of things. I mean, you can work 3 jobs. And you can do that easier than taking 45 minutes with God in prayer. You ever notice that? And then finally, when you do commit yourself to doing it, you know, you had all the energy in the world for everything else. You sat down to pray. All of a sudden, it's like, you're yawning, you can't focus, you're antsy, and you're just waiting for your cell phone to beep so you can jump up and do something else. Oh, somebody's calling me. Somebody's texting me. I have to read the text. Sorry, Jesus. I got to do something in the flesh because this spiritual thing of praying, see, it's a spiritual thing. It takes discipline, doesn't it? Yeah, it takes discipline to pray, to get in the Word of God. And that's the greatest thing in the world, greatest thrill. Hallelujah. But your flesh, and with the help of the... See, your flesh doesn't want to be dominated by your spirit. You have to understand that about your own flesh. Your own carnal mind does not want to be dominated by your spirit. He's been in control way too long. So he doesn't want your spirit to do anything to get strong because your flesh wants to dominate. All right? So that's why your flesh will sit down on you, try to sleep on you. It'll fight you. All right? And then add to that the devil, you know? He'll go through your prayer closet with poppies. And he says, poppies will put them to sleep, right? Poppies will put them to sleep. And so he's always trying to do things. All right? Or he'll send distractions, all kinds of things, right? How many people recognize that praying and getting in the Word is a battle? It's a bit of a battle, isn't it? It's a bit of a battle. Okay, thank God. And God expects all his children to pray and get in the Word, right? Yeah, so you need to do that. You need to do some of that, okay? But a pastor is called to do that full time. So what is difficult for the little sheep to do for a half hour, 45 minutes, I mean, he'll struggle through it. Won't get very far, won't get much in the Spirit, but thank God Jesus is there. And he'll be heard by God, and God will help him, you know. And so, you know, that's, whew, I spent 50 minutes in prayer. The pastor's called to do it full time. He's to give himself entirely to something you can hardly do for 45 minutes or an hour. Right? Jesus said to his own disciples, his own little disciples, he said, could you not stay awake and watch and pray with me for 1 hour? This is Jesus. I mean, he's pleading with them. Can you guys, just for 1 hour, guys.
It's so hard.
But yet, we don't even think about that when we think about our pastor and what he's actually called to do full time. It requires spiritual discipline. You got to put your flesh under. You got to do what it takes. You got to be committed. You got to be disciplined to get in there and spend time with God. Now, for me, I love it. I mean, thank you, Jesus. What an honor and a privilege to be able to get in there and pray and get with God and hear from heaven and woo, glory to God. But that's by keeping your focus in the right place and yielding to the grace of God that's on your life. But just in the natural, pastor's got flesh too. I know that's hard to believe, but the pastor has flesh too. And the flesh likes to eat, and the flesh likes to do other things than pray. Okay? Flesh likes to sleep. Flesh likes to do everything your flesh likes to do. I know. It does. But he can't let it dominate him. Otherwise, he fails at his job. All right? You don't know what it's like. I have to get up in the morning. I have to go to my job. Well, I have to get up in the morning, and I climb a mountain called Mount Sinai, and it's several hundred feet high, and I got to go up there into a cloud, and I got to disappear into this mountain, see? See? And then when I come down all glowing and everything, I got to go to work too. And then I got to do a lot of natural things as well. When God first called me, he said to me, now serve me full time. He said, leave secular work and serve me full time. This is back when I was still living out in Oklahoma. And again, he was leading me into the ministry. He'd called me now to the ministry. And he was just telling me, serve him full time. Well, there was a couple problems with that. First of all, I had no income. And he's asking me, leave secular work, serve me full time. Okay. So I will serve you full time as a helps minister in a church where I'm not getting paid. Volunteer. I'm going to help in a church where I'm not getting paid. And then the rest of the time, I'm just going to spend my time praying and in the Word of God. I need money. Okay? You try it sometime. So, but he called me to that. He told me to do that. And I honestly, I'll admit to you, I struggled with that for a little while. There was a few months that went by, and I hadn't fully obeyed God. Well, I hadn't obeyed God on it, period. Because I didn't know how I was going to do that. So it took me a little while, and then finally I did it. And then there were days that I sat there. See, this was all in preparation for me to be able to do what I'm doing right now. See? You have to understand that, and you need to appreciate that. You need to appreciate the work of God and the grace of God in the pastor's life so that you have a heart to receive more fully what God has for you through him. But if we keep taking him lightly and keep treating our shepherd and our leaders like, well, you know, they got, I'm the important one. I got a busy life. I got a lot going on. You know, he's got it easy over there. Then you don't receive half of what you're supposed to be getting. Because you're not going to expect to receive much from one you don't respect very much. To the degree you respect the office of a shepherd will be to the degree you'll expect to receive things from God through it, through that office. All right? So, but a lot of people don't have that respect. And they just treat the pastor, they treat ministers lightly. I'm talking about church folks. Forget about the world. They laugh at you. They mock churches. They mock pastors. They make movies making pastors look like absolute fools, right? We know that. But, you know, there's still a lot of that in the church world. A lot of the church world still believes that way. So that mentality has to be changed. And that's what God's doing to help us. To help us. Can you say amen? So I remember when I finally did do it and I was obeying God, next thing you know, I'm praying, I'm in the Word, and I'm enjoying myself, and the devil keeps coming. And he keeps saying, how are you going to pay your rent? How are you going to pay your car insurance? I got no income. I don't know where money's coming from. But I'm doing what God told me to do. He just kept bombarding me one afternoon. I'm just sitting with my Bible open. He says, look at you. You're just sitting here doing nothing. He calls that nothing. Most people call that nothing. If you're doing something that's fruitful or worth anything, that means you're out there working. You're working. You're working. Well, I'm working the Word. And the work that I'm doing is so easy that most Christians can't do it for an hour. But I'm doing it. And I'm enjoying it. Praise God, because the grace is there. And he says, you're not doing it. What are you going to do? You need to get a job. I kept casting it down. Found it. I couldn't take it anymore. I jumped up. I said, God, I'm going to get a job. I'm going to go right down the block to the Delta Cafe. I'm going to get a job as a waiter because I get tips right away and I can pay some bills. Because I knew bills were coming. Bills were coming. And so I got dressed. I said, if you don't stop me, if you don't do something about it right now, that's what I'm going to do. He said, if you don't work, you don't eat. And so I'm talking to God about it. I'm putting my tie on, getting everything. Going to get an interview. Get that job. And so I get all dressed. I'm ready to go. I'm talking a little, but I'm listening to him. I'm listening. I'm hoping he says something. And I'm heading towards the door. And then he said something. He asked me a question in my heart. Didn't hear an audible voice. It was just the thoughts that came from heaven. And he said to me, what are you going to go to work for? And I stopped right there in my truck. I said, for money. What kind of question is that? What are you going to go to work for? I said, for money. Just like that. And he said, oh, I thought you were going to work for me. And then I remembered the scripture, you can't serve two masters. And he was talking about money or him. I took my tie off. I sat down. And for 2 years, the Lord supernaturally provided for me. I never missed a bill getting paid. Never lacked a meal. Never lacked anything. But many times it came when you thought you needed it yesterday. You know, it's like, I need it right now. It's not there. And then the next day, there it is, and we're okay still. What was he doing? Teaching me to trust. Teaching me to rest. Showing me his faithfulness. Right? And he walked me through that. Thank God. Hallelujah. And then coming out here, starting the church, well, that was nothing after that, what I had just been through. It was no problem. But thank God, God trained me for that. A pastor, Acts chapter 6, verse 4, the apostle said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Continuously. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Why don't we turn there? 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. In verse 13, till I come, give attention to exhortation to doctrine. Now, in its context, what is he talking about here? Well, this is the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit, writing to Timothy, who is a young pastor of a church. So he's telling him, as a pastor, he says, until I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, or teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. So he had some gifts. He had some graces that were given to him through the laying on of hands. Things were imparted to him. Now you remember over in 2 Timothy, the Lord through Paul encouraged Timothy to stir up the gift of God that was in him through the laying on of hands. Stir it up! And then he went on to say, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. See, he was dealing with fear of man, fear of people. People could be pretty rough on you. People are pretty rough on ministers. We're going to get into that. People need to understand that. But people could be very rough on ministers. And so Timothy, he's intimidated. He's a young guy. People are obviously despising his youth. That's why Paul said to him in another place, he said, let no one despise your youth. Don't let him do that. He said to Titus, who was another pastor, he just simply said, let no one despise you. Don't let people despise you. Why? Because if they despise you, they despise him who sent you. They're despising God, despising the word, and that's not good for them, is it? It's not good for them. So he says, don't let anybody despise you. So he was being despised. And so fear was keeping him from exercising that gift that God had placed upon his life. So he's telling him, stir up that gift. Here he says, do not neglect the gift. See, pastors have to be bold. Pastors have to press through a lot of adversity. They have to press through a lot of opinions. I don't think you should do it that way. I don't think you should do that. I can tell you right now, that's half the problem. Because he's doing that. He shouldn't be acting like that. He shouldn't say that. I think you should do it this way. And then there's so many opinions. It's so amazing. There's a lot of armchair coaches or pastors in the pews, and they're called sheep. and they have no grace to be a shepherd. But they know how it should be done. Trust me, I've had plenty of people leave here telling me how it should be done. Well, if you just did this. But I'll tell you right now, when God uses me and I start, you know, I'm going to do it this way. You know, experts. Experts. In fact, there was a minister one time, and him and I were together, and man, he was a powerful preacher, evangelist. I mean, evangelist, missionary. I mean, he traveled all over the place. Just powerful evangelist. I mean, definitely an evangelist. Totally. Him and I were driving in the car together, and as we were driving, he said to me, he said, now, he said, if I was a pastor, he said, I'll tell you exactly how I'd do it. I could tell you exactly why these churches aren't growing. He said, I'd go ahead and take a group of people, and we would go out, and we would go door to door, and da-da-da-da-da, and he laid out his plan of how to get churches to grow. See, because he knew it all. He wasn't a pastor. He was an evangelist. But he knew how, because he goes to churches, he preaches in churches, and he knew how it should have been done. He knows how it should be done, right? So he's telling me all this. Of course, everything he's saying, I've done. I've tried that. It failed miserably. But I tried that. Failed miserably. But he's telling me all about it. Oh, yeah, okay, praise God. You know, thank you, Lord Jesus. So he's telling me his plan, how it would all be. See, he knows better than all these pastors. And then everything got quiet, and I heard the Lord say to me, now he will have to pastor. That's what the Lord said to me. Now he will have to pastor. Why? Because he's got a wrong idea about things. And he's judging things, and he does not know what he's talking about, and it's going to affect his ability to be able to help sheep, to go into churches and help churches. That's what the Lord said. He said, now he's going to have to pastor. A few months later, he announced that he was starting a church. That was years ago. He's still pastoring that church to this day. He's still pastoring today. So I heard from God. Isn't that something? So you got to watch about presumption. People say a bunch of stuff, and then the Lord looks and goes, now they're going to have to go this way in order to be able to get that stinking, prideful opinion out of their head. You got to watch out for presumptuous thinking and presumptuous speaking. You got to watch out for opinions. Are you really hearing from God? Do you really know? A lot of people think they really know. They really know. I know. I've been there. I understand. Do you? Do you? Maybe you don't. And a lot of times in these areas, you have no idea. And that's okay. You've never been there, never done that, never been graced to stand in that place. It doesn't matter how much you're around a shepherd. It doesn't matter how much you serve next to a shepherd. You're not a shepherd. You're not a shepherd. You don't have what God has placed on his life. You don't have what God's placed on his life, and you haven't gone through what he's gone through. I could tell you that right now. But see, people are very quick to think they got it all figured out, just like the armchair quarterback, right? Hasn't played football a day in his life, but he's going to sit there and scream at that stupid coach and those stupid players on the field who have sacrificed everything, given their life, and have made it to a professional level to do what they're doing. But that armchair quarterback, man, he's got it all figured out. How did you drop the ball, you stupid, stupid, stupid? And then the little armchair quarterback, I mean, the greatest workout he has is picking up a pizza. That's his greatest workout. He hasn't exerted any sweat out there on that field. But then when the game's over and his team wins, you know what he says? We won! We won! You won nothing! Awesome, we're taking the glory. We won! You didn't win a thing. They won. And you enjoyed their win. That's about the size of it. You didn't win a thing. You don't get to walk along and kiss the little trophy. Say, yo, Adrian, I did it. You don't even get to touch the thing. I'm just telling you. I'm just mankind, you know. Presumption and pride, and we got it all figured out. We got to watch that. That gets us in trouble. Peter got in trouble. Remember Peter said, I would never deny you, though they all deny you. I would never deny you. Jesus looked at him and said, now you're going to get tested. Now Satan's going to sift you like wheat, Peter, because you're going to have to learn this the hard way, that you would deny me without my grace. There's a lot of things you would fail at miserably without my grace. So don't be so quick to judge. Don't be so self-confident. So important to understand these things, don't you think? So going on here, verse 14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And so we're all to be lights to the world. We're all to be the salt of the earth. We're all to influence other people, and other people's lives are dependent upon our witness and our sharing the gospel with them. But that is most true with a shepherd, who that's his life, standing before people and helping them. These are words of life. This is life and death stuff here. I said this is life and death stuff here. Vital that it's clear and it's from the Lord and it's timely. It's in season. The words that are spoken, it's anointed, because people's lives are at stake. God knows that, and shepherds are being held accountable for how they treat these things. So you got to give yourself entirely. To do it right, you got to give yourselves entirely to it. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Praise God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.